Hello, friends, and welcome to the Everyday Truth Podcast with Kurt Skelly. Our purpose is to show that the Bible is relevant to your life every single day. And we're glad you joined us here for the conversation as we journey through the book of Acts and learn that true faith leads to action. Now, let's hear what Kurt has to say.
And welcome back, each and every one of you, to today's episode of Everyday Truth. Sure do appreciate your faithfulness, your love for the Lord, and your desire to learn a little bit more about this great historical book that we call the Book of Acts, written by Luke, and really as a companion resource to the book of Luke. The Book of Luke, obviously comprising the ministry, life and ministry of Jesus, and then the Book of Acts, the life and ministry of Jesus in and through those whom he used, especially the Apostle Paul. So in Acts 18 and verse 4, that's the verse we find ourselves in now. Paul, Priscilla, and Aquila, they're working together. Paul's establishing himself in the city. And it's not surprising that in verse 4, he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. So very soon after his arrival in Corinth, John, we find him just doing what he always does, and that is going to the Jew first.
Yeah, we have seen this a number of times now throughout our journey through the book of Acts, how this is Paul's MO. This is what Paul does, and it reminds us in our life that there ought to be certain things that we just do as a habit, and Paul did this as a habit to reach people with the gospel.
And so he's convincing Jews and Gentiles. The synagogue was not reserved for Jews only, although it was their meeting place. The God-fearing people were invited and were able to come and attend. And so Paul had a ministry both to Jews and Gentiles. And the Bible says in verse 5, "And when Silas and Timotheus were come from Macedonia." So remember, they had joined Paul in Athens. But Paul said, it's better for me to be left in Athens by myself. And you can read all about this in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. And I want you guys to go back up to Thessalonica, and I want you to find out how they're doing. And that was important because there was no real-time information. There's no email. There's no FaceTime. Paul had left that fledgling church unexpectedly. He was kicked out of town. How are they doing? What do they need? What's the status report? And so now in Corinth, already engaged in ministry, he gets a report from Silas and Timotheus that when Silas and Timotheus were come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. So what was it, do you think, about the arrival of Silas and Timotheus that spark-plugged the Apostle Paul to really jump into that concluding statement? Remember, the teaching in the synagogue was about Messiah, and he's setting the table for introducing Jesus. But when Silas and Timotheus showed up, he just kind of went right for the conclusion there. Jesus is Christ.
You know, this is an interesting connection the Bible makes here about Silas and Timothy coming back from Macedonia. And we don't know what all they would have told Paul, but they would have had to have told Paul some report of what was going on back in Macedonia. And of course, back in Macedonia, when we left there last time, things were not going well with the Jews. The Jews were antagonistic toward Paul, what Paul was trying to do, which is why Paul had to leave. And I don't know what Timothy and Silas said right now, but something, the report would have burdened Paul even more to make even a stronger appeal to the Jewish people in Corinth about Jesus being the Messiah.
You know, John, it could have been that when Paul was kicked out of town, he could have thought, you know, I pulled the trigger too early in Thessalonica, and now I'm not there. You know, I got the Jews all upset, and now I can't be there, and that church plant is a bust. But when Silas and Timotheus came back, they told Paul just the opposite. They said, "Paul, you're not going to believe this. That church is thriving, and they have a powerful influence, and they are going on for the gospel." So to me, it's almost as if the Apostle Paul thought, you know, in the moment, it looked like all I did was create trouble and problems by proclaiming Christ. But what I see right now is the power of the gospel. And the same thing can happen here in Corinth. I'm just going to cut right to the chase and tell people Jesus is Messiah.
You know, that's very likely is what happened. You know, Paul was a man subject to like passions as we are. Paul, there were times he would have had regrets about things or maybe gotten a little discouraged about how things had happened. But now when Timothy and Silas come back with a glowing report about what's happening there back in Macedonia, I'm sure it would have encouraged him and galvanized him to even more forcefully talk to the Jews at Corinth about Jesus Christ being the Messiah.
I love the old English way that it describes Paul's passion. Paul was pressed in the spirit. You know, there was a conviction, a squeezing, a pressure. I wonder if sometimes we don't feel that pressure in the spirit that I need to witness to this person. I need to deal with this family situation. I need to confront this, whatever it might be, something that we know to do that's right from the Bible, that the Holy Spirit just has a way of squeezing a little bit.
You know, without doubt, Pastor, God does work in our lives like that today. Like you, I know throughout your life, I in my life have many times felt the Holy Spirit, you know, working in my heart, you know, guiding me to do something, whether that's to talk to somebody about Christ, whether that's to deal with some problem, whether it was to encourage somebody. You know, and there are times I've listened, I've obeyed, and I've seen God work. And sadly, there have been some times I knew I should have done something and I didn't, and I missed out on the blessing of God working through my life.
Yeah, that's a good testimony. Look at verse 6. And when they opposed themselves and blasphemed. Very interesting language that we'll come back to. When they opposed themselves and blasphemed, he shook his raiment and said unto them, your blood be upon your own heads. I'm clean. From henceforth, I will go unto the Gentiles. So I think Paul, in the back of his mind, knew that when he actually declared Jesus to be Messiah, it was going to bring a negative reaction from the Jews, as it had in Thessalonica. But he did it anyway. And the Bible says that their reaction was predictably negative. They blasphemed and they denied the truth of what Paul was saying. But isn't it interesting, John, that the way the Bible describes it is they opposed themselves?
That is a very interesting language the Bible uses. And we find that concept other places in Scripture. And you hear Paul is telling them the truth, what they need to know. The only way that they can have eternal salvation is through Jesus Christ. That is the truth. But sadly, what would have helped them in life and made them reconciled with God and at peace with God, they turned away as being an error. The very thing they needed is the very thing they rejected, and they did not want the truth of God.
Sometimes we view rejection of the gospel message as people taking up a position of enmity against us. They're my enemy because they're not listening to what I said. But what the Bible says is really they're taking up a position not against you, but they're taking up a position against themselves. They're actually becoming their own worst enemy because they're not believing the truth.
You know, that make even for lost people, for sure, that's true. And I think even in our own life, you know, how that sometimes we can resist what God wants to do in our life. And God is trying to get us to do certain things or lead us down certain pathways or get us to refrain from going certain ways or doing certain things. And if we don't follow the word of God in our life, then we are living against ourselves because the only right way to live is in the truth of God.
One of my favorite passages about just the demeanor of a pastor or a preacher is 2 Timothy chapter 2. Toward the end of that chapter, the Bible says, and the servant of the Lord must not strive. In other words, we shouldn't be known as competitive and combative people that are simply trying to win arguments. The servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient. And then it says it, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. Same concept. So don't take it personally with your family member, with your cousin, with your coworker, when you're giving them the truth in a gentle, and yet bold way, don't take it personally.
That is a good reminder to us as we minister and try to share Christ with other people. You know, we, a number of you who are listening right now are parents, and there have been things you've told your kids, and you know beyond doubt that what you're telling your kids is the best thing for them. And yet sometimes in their short-sightedness, they don't want to follow that. And so we watch them sometimes make bad choices. It always gladdens our heart when we see our children make right choices. And so God, you know, is gladdened, so to speak, when he sees people respond to truth in the right way.
So the Bible says, one day they had opposed themselves and blasphemed. What a strong word. To blaspheme means to abuse, and specifically abusing the very reputation of the Lord. The Bible says, he shook his raiment. They didn't realize, by the way, they were blaspheming. They thought they were being faithful to their God by rejecting Jesus. But in essence, what they were doing is blaspheming. And the Bible says, he shook his raiment and said unto them, your blood be upon your own heads. What does that mean, John? Your blood be upon your own heads.
Yeah, that's a powerful rebuke that Paul gives them here. They are responsible for what they're doing, and they have to take the full responsibility, and they will receive judgment for the things they have done, for which they must be accountable for.
There's a sense in which the blood of others is on our hands if we have information that is essential for them and we do not share it. That we find that in the book of Ezekiel, the watchman, that whole metaphor that I think is so applicable today. But there comes a time when accountability is shifted, and the accountability becomes that much more weighty on people that now know the truth. And I think about the parable of our Lord when he said, that servant which knew his Lord's will was counted worthy of many stripes. In other words, he deserved the righteous retribution of God because he knew and rejected.
Now that is a solemn reminder to us today in our life that we are responsible for what we do here. You know, I think even as we go through the Word of God right now and talk about things God has done in Paul's life, and we talk about great scriptural truths that we find here, in the everyday truth that we're seeing, we're responsible to live out that everyday truth.
So the Bible says that your blood should be upon your own heads. I'm clean. He wasn't saying that braggadociously. He was saying that as a matter of fact. I have given the truth. And then, henceforth, from now on, I will go really exclusively unto, I will go unto the Gentiles. What a statement. I mean, you talk about throwing salt into the wound, because the Jews now are just incensed that he would preach this to them false Messiah. But now for him to say, I'm not going to deal with you guys anymore. I'm going to treat you as if you are Gentiles, you've rejected truth, I'm shaking my garment, and I'm going to go to the Gentiles.
And this would have been quite an act and quite a statement for Paul to make. We all remember that Paul loved the Jewish people, and he longed for them to come to Christ. But he realizes as he ministers to the Jews, by and large, they're just being stiff-necked, not responding to the gospel. And so Paul says, I have tried, I have preached to you. But, you know, he realizes he can have a more fruitful ministry by ministering to the Gentiles.
For sure. And so that's exactly what he does. Because the Bible says in verse 7, and he departed thence and entered into a certain man's house named Justus, one that worshiped God, whose house joined hard to the synagogue. You know, it's interesting. He was essentially kicked out of the synagogue. So you know what he did? He went next door.
Yes.
And yeah, we're out of time today right now, my friends, but what a great practical example for you and me. You're rejected. You feel like your ministry is fruitless where you are. You've exhausted your resources or your influence. Hey, go next door. You know, somebody's going to hear. Someone's going to listen. There's somebody down the street. And our job is not to make people agree, to change people's hearts. That's God's sphere. Our job is to be faithful messengers of the Lord's truth. So I hope that helps you today, my friends. Appreciate you tuning in. As always, looking forward to continuing to talk about this ministry in Corinth and all that God did in and through the 18-month ministry of the Apostle Paul there. God bless you, my friends. Have a great day in the Lord.
Thanks for taking time to listen. If everyday truth matters to you, go ahead and subscribe to the podcast or share it with a friend. Until next time, God bless.